Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and I do hope you've been with us for the past 2 weeks now as we've been looking into the book of Revelation. And if you have not, we do suggest that you go to our website, billybrim.org, and get the radio program archives beginning July 16, because we're looking in this book at the book of Revelation because the Lord has told us to do that. Now, today, we're on the church. There were seven existing churches, assemblies, and there were messages for them. Today, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the church, to the angel of the church at Pergamon write. These churches, these cities, Pergamon was one of the seven cities where the churches were. And these are actually Greek cities that were established, and now it's the time of the Roman Empire, but they were built in the time of the Greeks. And each of these cities had an acropolis, a flat hill at the top where all the gods lived and the temples to the gods were, and then down below the city and the people lived. And so this was the Greek city of Pergamon, built that way. And to the angel of the church in Pergamon write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And you hold fast my name, and you have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. This city, Pergamon, this Greek city, had at the top of it an acropolis, a flat hill, and there on the top of that hill was the temple to Zeus. There was also great temples to Athena. But it was primarily this temple of Zeus and the altars, the altar to Zeus, whereon even martyrs were killed and offered. And Jesus said, I know that you live right where Satan's seat is. More than 20 years ago, I was invited to take part in a prayer meeting in Brussels, Belgium. And I was living in Pryor, Oklahoma, out at Lake Hudson, and I went down to the lake to pray and see if I should go. And at my time there at the lake, the Lord opened to me this scripture. Remember, I'm praying about going to Brussels, Belgium. And he showed me this scripture here in Revelation, and he revealed to me the seat or throne of Satan. He showed me that Satan's throne is not in hell, but in the heavenlies above the earth. He is called the prince of the powers of the air, and his headquarters are in the heavenlies. We know that the New Testament calls him the God of this world, the prince of the powers of the air. And so he spoke to me concerning this verse right here. The Greek word for seat is also can be translated throne. It's the same with the Hebrew. You have to decide whether it's talking about a seat or a throne, kos. But here it's the Greek word, and it's talking about Satan's throne. And Jesus says that this church of Pergamon is in the place where Satan has his throne. I'm going to read to you now from The Authority of the Believer by John A. Macmillan. And John A. Macmillan writes a wonderful book. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin was inspired by these little pamphlets of Macmillan that were later put into a book by this missionary to China and the Philippines. And he talks about, like Brother Hagin does, that wonderful book of Ephesians, which tells us, it's called The Authority of the Believer. It was bestowed upon us when at our new birth, when we were born again. We were quickened with Christ when he was raised from the dead. We were raised with him, and we were seated with him at the right hand of the Father, where we are like Jesus, and in Jesus, we are far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. So in his book on page 10, under the subtitle, The Rebel Holders of Authority, I'm going to read to you from Macmillan's book. It is necessary to state here what is commonly understood by those who carefully study the word, that the kingdoms of this world are under the control and leadership of satanic principalities. The great head of all these is called the prince of this world, the powers of the air. He asserted his claim to this suzerainty over the world kingdoms in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Remember when he tempted Jesus and he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Jesus didn't deny that it was a temptation. It was, for those kingdoms had been turned over to him by Adam. Over the air, there is this kingdom system we read about in the book of Daniel. We read about the prince of Persia, which is Iran, the prince of Grecia. There are headquarters, there are thrones over the countries and nations of the earth. But he, the evil one, is the prince of the powers of the air. He's the god of this world. He shouldn't have this right. He shouldn't be in those seats, but it was given to him by Adam, and he will be there till Adam's lease on the earth runs out. That's how long they were whole. Those heavenlies are being shaken right now, and those princes are being shaken down, and they're very upset about it. Satan sees that his time is short. But now we're going back to the fact that he does have this kingdom, double kingdom system set up in those heavenlies. Although he is a rebel against the Most High, Satan is now under judgment of dispossession. He is still at large. And as the masses of mankind are also rebels, he maintains over them an unquestioned because unsuspected rule, their eyes being blinded to his dominance. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. The whole rebellious system is divided into heavenly and earthly sections. Isaiah 24:21. There are the host of the high ones that are on high, the unseen powers of the air, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, the rulers of mankind and their subjects. This is very easy to see in Ezekiel 28. If you want to turn and see how this works with me to the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel 28, the strong superpower on the earth in those days was Tyre, and it was like a rock fortress city off what is now to present-day Lebanon. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god, and I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man, and you're not God, though you have set your heart as the heart of God. Well, this was a man on the earth, and it was common in those days for kings to call themselves gods. And so the prince of this, the king, earthly ruler over Tyre, thought he was a god and told the people that he was a god. And it was a fortress, that rock fortress of Tyre, and very rich. They sent out goods to all the world, the Phoenicians. And he said, they claimed to be a god, but God said, you're not a god. And you're a man. And in verse 8, he says, they shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the deaths of them that were slain in the midst of the seas. And it did so happen under Alexander the Great. He conquered Tyre. Now that was a word to the prince of Tyre. But look at verse 11. Moreover, in addition to, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden. Now there's somebody over the earthly ruler. And this one who's over that earthly ruler has been in Eden. Who was that? Well, we know that was Satan himself. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The workmanship of your tablets and your pipes were in you in the day you were created. This is a created being. He doesn't have a belly button. He was created by God. You were the anointed cherub that covered, and I set thee so. You've been upon the holy mountain of God. You've walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found up in you, and I cast you down out of the mountain of God. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, but I will lay you, verse 17, before kings that they may behold you. So here we see how Satan above had his, at that time when Jesus was, when God was talking, he had his throne, his headquarters over Tyre, earthly Tyre. And he was ruling down through that man in Tyre. And so there is this this kingdom that's above. Remember, Daniel talked about the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia. And then we read here in these powers of the air, reading back again from Macmillan, the God of the whole earth does not propose to tolerate forever this rebellion against his righteousness. Every knee shall bow. And these powers of the air are going to be overthrown. And then he proposes, and I believe it's so, that the church will take their places as overrulers. There's a book written from a little guy that got back from heaven, Todd Burpo. And Todd was 4 when he went to heaven, and he loved to play superhero. And his mother said to him, one thing that you must not have liked it because there are no swords in heaven. And little guy Colton said, there are 2 swords in heaven. And she said, well, why? And he said, Mom, Satan's not in hell yet. The angels carry swords so they can keep Satan out of heaven. And then in his book, Dr. Gary Wood writes, while I was with Jesus, he showed me the earth. It was like I was looking at the pictures the astronauts sent to us on Earth from the satellite, only the Earth was encircled by 3 rings. Inside the first ring, the Earth's atmosphere, I saw hundreds of evil spirits, Satan's domain. The evil spirits would target people to deceive them. If the people would accept the lies as truth, more demons would swarm in like flies. And he goes on to tell more and more about that. But then he says, Jesus showed me that when a child of God got down on their knees before him, praying in the name of Jesus with faith, their prayers would shoot into the heavens like barbed arrows. An army of angelic forces would appear, prepared for battle to destroy the demons' effectiveness. Now, here is my point to you. Satan was at that time dwelling over Pergamos. The Lord showed me when I went down to the water that day to pray that Satan's throne was in the heavenlies and that it was movable. He moved it from time to time according to the political maneuverings of the earth. At the time of Revelation, the book of Revelation, the altar Zeus was in Pergamon, in this Greek city. Zeus was called the father of gods and men. He was worshipped there. Human blood was shed upon that altar. That very altar was taken down and moved to Berlin, that huge, huge altar. I went to see it in a museum there. It's been in Berlin in World War I and World War II. It was taken to Moscow in the Cold War, and then it was moved back to Berlin. But the Lord showed me that Satan moved his throne and that he had moved it. Hitler, in fact, used this Pergamon altar to design a platform that he did his Nuremberg speeches from. And so God showed me when I was there that Satan moves his altar. He moves his seat, excuse me. He moves his throne from time to time, that it had been over Pergamon, it had been over Tyre, it had been over Moscow, it had been over Berlin, but that in these last days, it's going to be over Brussels. And the revival of the old Roman Empire. That's not the end. He's going to try to move it someplace else. We'll talk about that later when we come back with more study of the book of Revelation. And this weekend, you find you a good church which has a bright lampstand receiving from heaven and has shedding heaven's light upon you and yours. Shalom, shalom. Until next week.